The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article from kidspiritonline.com, How Mistakes Shape Us. This article was written by Hiba Omar on March 2nd. There's something almost paradoxical about mistakes. We spend our lives trying to avoid them, polishing our work, rehearsing our lines, double-checking every detail. Yet, every meaningful discovery in human history seems to begin with one. A wrong turn in thinking, a failed experiment, an unexpected outcome, the very things we fear most. If perfection is the ideal, why does progress so often arise from imperfection? A mistake is an unintentional failure, something we do without intending the outcome it brings. It is different from incorrectness. Incorrectness may result from a mistake, but it does not always involve the same unintended action. Something can be incorrect without having been a mistake in the experiential human sense. Scientists, philosophers, and educators have long argued that mistakes aren't simply obstacles in the learning process. They are the process. They shape our understanding, sharpen our thinking, and reveal truths we would never see if everything went right the first time. But our instinctive reaction to mistakes, shame, embarrassment, or frustration, often hides their real purpose. Scientists have found that the mind is built not to avoid error, but to use it. Neuroscientist Earl K. Miller once described the brain as a prediction engine, constantly guessing what will happen next and then rewriting itself when it's wrong. That wrongness, the moment we dread, is the moment the brain lights up. This is the paradox we rarely speak about. Mistakes feel like failure, but the brain treats them like information. They are not proof that we are inadequate. They are proof that we are learning. Yet, from a young age, many of us are trained to treat mistakes as something to hide. A red X on a test feels heavier than it should. A mispronounced word in class echoes louder than our correct ones. We learn to associate being wrong with being lesser. However, educational psychologist Manu Kapoor calls mistakes productive failure, based on the idea that struggling, even getting things wrong, actually prepares the mind for insight. Students who wrestle with ideas before being told the answer develop deeper understanding than those who never struggle at all. Effort, not the illusion of perfection, opens the door to mastery. Scientific history quietly reinforces this pattern. Some of humanity's most important discoveries began not with triumph, but with accidents. Penicillin emerged from a contaminated petri dish. Even the microwave oven appeared because a scientist's chocolate bar melted near an active radar device. None of these moments were planned. They were noticed. A mistake became meaningful the moment curiosity stepped in. So, why do mistakes still terrify us? Psychologist Martin Covington argued that a fear of failure stems from a fear of losing worth. Mistakes feel like mirrors reflecting inadequacy, even when they're simply part of the process. But this fear is learned and not natural. Children mispronounce words. Fall when learning to walk. Spill paint when discovering color. They do not see these moments as evidence of failure. Only later do we inherit the belief that mistakes are dangerous. Some societies have resisted this mindset. Japan's philosophy of Kaizen treats mistakes as small adjustments in a continual process of improvement. In Finland's education system, students are encouraged to think slowly and take academic risks, knowing that struggle is part of understanding. Across these cultures, one idea stays constant. Mistakes are raw material for growth. Avoiding mistakes doesn't prevent failure. It guarantees it. When students fear being wrong, they choose the safest questions. When creators fear criticism, their work becomes smaller. When leaders fear imperfection, they stop experimenting. Cognitive science echoes this. The testing effect shows that trying, failing, and receiving feedback strengthens memory far more than passive study. Even an incorrect answer helps build knowledge if it's followed by correction. The brain, it seems, values the pathway of the mistake as much as the destination of the truth. It learns just as much from the process of making and fixing mistakes as it does from finally being right. But mistakes offer more than new neural connections. They offer perspective. The philosopher Karl Popper believed that science advances not by proving theories right, but by proving them wrong. Error reveals the boundary of our understanding. It shows us where the light ends and the unknown begins. To be wrong is to stand at the edge of progress. This perspective of seeing mistakes as teachers rather than threats requires a shift not only in schools, but in ourselves. The emotional sting of being wrong doesn't vanish simply because we understand its scientific value. Mistakes can bruise us. They can feel like endings. But the sting is not a warning to stop. It is a sign that we care about the outcome. Without that discomfort, learning would flatten into memorization instead of transformation. Maybe mistakes are less like cracks in a finished sculpture and more like the marks a potter makes while shaping clay. The clay leans, the hands adjust. A flaw appears, pressure redirects it. The final form is stronger because of every correction. Every place where the potter's hands hesitated or pressed too hard. Learning works the same way. Every misstep leaves an imprint. Every correction alters the shape of the mind. We often try to picture learning as a straight, shining path, but it may be closer to a river instead, curving, shifting, constantly rewriting its course when it meets resistance. Mistakes carry us toward something if we are willing to follow the current rather than fear it. The real danger is not making mistakes, but in refusing to learn from them. When errors are punished, we retreat. When they are understood, we expand. When they are welcomed, even just enough to examine, we become braver thinkers. Perhaps the truth is that mistakes shape us in ways that successes never could. They force us to question, to revise, to rebuild. They offer us the rare chance to see ourselves clearly. Intelligence is not the absence of mistakes. It is the ability to transform them. In the end, it isn't perfection that shapes us. It's every honest, human attempt to rise after being wrong. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com. Taming Your Sweet Tooth: Realistic Steps for Beating Sugar Addiction. This article was written by Caleb DeGue on April 17th. Sports have always been a major part of my life, since really the day I could walk, specifically basketball and tennis. But there is another feat I find myself doing weekly: consuming sugar. Being from the Crescent City, food is culture. Most notable cuisines that have had a significant impact on New Orleans culture are red beans and rice, jambalaya, gumbo, po' boys, and my favorite, beignets. Now, for those who don't know, beignets, pâté à choux, are a deep-fried pastry topped with sugar, and it's typically served with coffee, café au lait, at local restaurants in New Orleans. I vividly remember receiving my first beignet at the ripe age of 5, and ever since then, my love, or addiction, to sweets has branched to Pop-Tarts, Oreos, Cosmic Brownies, and more. According to the recognized New York Post, a survey of 2,000 adults tasted different snacks, and results revealed that 3/4 of Gen Z, 72%, need between 1 and 6 servings or pieces of sweet treats every day, while only 57% of baby boomers feel the same. Almost everything ingested by humans nowadays contains some form of sugar. Beverages, fruits, salad dressing, sushi rice, and more that will be enough to possibly write a book. So, why are Gen Z and individuals in general so inclined and addicted to sweets? I suggest it's the stress from life in general, politics, life, school/college, etc., and the psychological need for rewarding properties of sugar, as mentioned by PubMed Central, or PMC. Possible resolutions. As mentioned by the Cambridge Dictionary, the noun resolution is a promise to yourself to do or not to do something. This applies to everything and is the main reason multiple individuals discuss with peers yearly on what their New Year's resolutions are. As humans, we make mistakes, like a lot. So it makes perfect sense for us to want a better lifestyle for ourselves. However, for me, I struggle to maintain an urge to step away from those delicious artificial products. I remember vividly a few weeks prior to writing this article when I went walking to the store in the rain for a few snacks. Those snacks you may be wondering about were brownies and a small bag of Takis. I finished it all in a few days, and yes, it was great consuming it in the moment. But when it's all gone, you'll be left wondering, why did I just do that? There is a resolution to everything, even at times when you don't think it. Just like me, you could possibly be struggling with this same issue, which is why I have a few counter effects on how to fix this internal urge to consume. 1. Switch to another form of happiness for your dopamine. Sugar is the source of dopamine. If you're bored, happy, or stressed, your brain finds the quickest way to feel better. I'd suggest going outside, taking a walk with friends, or even by yourself. 2. Consume 1 to 2 sweets a week. In order to reach a goal, start small. If you're addicted like me, try eating one or two snacks on a given day per week. If you see change or a different approach to your daily life, food-wise, you're doing something positive. 3. Listen to music. Yes, you heard right. Music is a form of art, and it's also a distraction at times. More often than not, music helps others reach a sense of flow state. Yes, that one term used all over social media nowadays comes in handy if you really think about it. Fast tempo music can increase your heart rate and nervous system for action. In contrast, lo-fi beats help drown out the world, allowing you to focus on complex tasks. In this beautiful realm called life, there will always be addictions. It's bound to happen whether you like it or not. For me, that's sweets. I don't know what the future holds with me and my relationship with this artificial piece of food. However, I will strive every day in order to fix this before it's too late. I suggest you do the same. Whatever conflict or addiction you're struggling with, aim to fix it. You've only got one life. Make it count. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Struggling with doom scrolling? Here are some tips to stop your phone addiction. This article was written by Advita Luthra on March 26th. Ever found yourself picking up your phone for 5 minutes and suddenly an hour's gone by? We have all been there. So let's find out what that is and get some tips to overcome the challenge in front of us. This is what we call doom scrolling. The term combines doom, as in negative or distressing news, and scrolling, as in the endless swipe or click to get more content. It is basically the act of compulsively scrolling through negative news and information, which may often lead to anxiety, stress, emotional harm, or even physical problems like headaches or sleep disruption. It may often make you feel anxious, sad, or overwhelmed. While staying informed is important, doom scrolling can become emotionally draining and even harmful to mental health. It is obsessing over social media, consuming negative content, and many times driven by the need to stay aware and informed, or a propensity to be drawn to threats. But why is it so addictive? The answer is simple. It is because of the fear of missing out on stuff or getting to know things late. These and the algorithm that companies use that makes screen time tempting for children with low self-control are the major factors responsible for doom scrolling. It often starts with curiosity and ends in emotional burnout. It is caused by our brain's instinct to focus on threats, the way digital platforms are designed, and our need for control in uncertain times. Here are some tips to reclaim control over scrolling. 1. Set screen time limits. Reducing your screen time limits can help a lot with doom scrolling. Try to control yourself and not reach for your phone by controlling yourself. You can use screen timer apps like Forest or Regain, which work effectively, tried and tested, or simply set parental controls on your phone. 2. Create phone-free zones and times. Practice self-control by creating places where you will not use your phone or creating time blocks where you will not use your phone. If you still find plenty of free time as a tempting opportunity to scroll on your phone, just hand it over to your parent or an elder in your house. They'll be more than happy to see you without your phone for a while, focusing on things other than your phone, and when you're done, just ask for it back. 3. Switch off notifications. Notifications are the most attractive part of a device. They cause an urge just to check if someone has messaged you, if the gamer you follow just posted, or if the sale on your favorite brand has come. We have all been there, so just block notifications and reduce the temptation to constantly check apps. 4. Replace the habit. Replace your habit of scrolling in your free time with something that diverts your mind, such as an activity or a sport that fascinates you. Try new things. Try reading the book your friend suggested to you last month. Join your friend for a game of basketball or badminton, or just spend time with your family or alone cleaning your room. Anything that helps you drop that phone. 5. Be intentional with usage. Ask yourself before you pick up your phone, is it really worth it? And you will have your answer to whether you really need to use it. And try putting down your phone intentionally. Try going outside to touch grass, play with your friends, or just spend time alone with nature and maybe a person or two in offline mode. 6. Manage your content. Try following uplifting content and accounts that promote overall well-being. Try to follow educational and meaningful accounts from which you actually learn something new to trick yourself into thinking in a positive sense. Some also recommend setting limits on news consumption, taking breaks from screens, and focusing on positive or solution-focused content to deal with its side effects. Takeaways. With these tips and a bit of mindfulness, you will be able to take up new activities and gain a new perspective on things rather than following the path your phone gives you. Your time and mind are worth way more than a scroll on your phone. Phones are designed so that they could be of help to you. Don't let them be your worst enemy. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. More than just a drink. The surprising health benefits of tea. This article was written by Raisa Castro on April 17th. Tea is rich in antioxidants that support and protect the cells in our bodies from damage, while also helping regulate blood pressure and cholesterol levels, which leads to better heart health over time. Consuming tea regularly has been linked to a much lower risk of certain types of chronic diseases, making it a simple yet effective addition to a healthy lifestyle. Some teas, such as green tea, contain caffeine along with L-theanine, a potent combination that creates a relaxed but focused state of mind, allowing for better concentration without the shaking and jitters associated with coffee. Moreover, tea can play a crucial role in digestive health by reducing bloating and helping the body process food in a more efficient manner. In particular, herbal teas are well known for their soothing effects on the stomach. In addition, many types of tea have natural anti-inflammatory properties, which help lower discomfort in the body significantly and support immune function. Overall, drinking tea every day can contribute to both mental clarity and physical health. The best teas. Green tea. Many people consider green tea the healthiest option out of all teas. It is highly rich in catechins, an antioxidant that is famous for its function of helping protect the heart and supporting metabolism. Development in brain performance and a boost in fat burn are two awesome benefits that green tea provides. Flavor-wise, it tastes a bit grassy, but refreshingly and enjoyably, which makes it an excellent choice for everyone. I personally like to mix green tea with other teas, such as hibiscus tea. That way, I can taste the hibiscus and still get the benefits of the green tea. Chamomile tea. Chamomile is a fan favorite of mine due to its calming effects. Since it's a caffeine-free herbal tea, it's an amazing option to have before bed. I am a very stressed person, so this tea makes the day feel more pleasant. It's most helpful for bettering sleep quality, reducing stress levels, and supporting digestive issues. As for its taste, it's very light and floral, which makes it ideal to have at night. I usually like to have it a few hours before I sleep, since it allows me to calm down from my stressful day and have a peaceful night of sleep. Peppermint tea. Another herbal tea that's specifically known for its digestive benefits is the famous peppermint tea. If you have digestive problems, this is the tea for you. It aids in reducing stomach pain, gas, and bloating. It has a minty and refreshing flavor, which makes it fun to drink. This tea is my favorite for sure, since it is delicious and also helps with my digestive issues. I usually have it in the morning to start my day nice and fresh. Personally, it tastes like gum when combined with honey, which is why it's my favorite. Throwing tea into your daily routine is an easy yet amazing and beneficial way to enhance physical and mental health. Whether you are looking for a tea that won't make you feel tired 24/7, one that will aid in your digestion, or one that will make you feel relaxed, there's a tea that effectively meets your needs. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.